upcoming book is called The Overseer Class, Representation as Repression. He is at the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University, Chair of Social Justice and Reporting. Professor Thrasher, welcome back to Democracy Now! Why don't you explain in your own words what has happened to you since the Gaza protests?
Thanks for having me, Amy. So at the Gaza encampment, as you saw in the video, I was one of a number of professors and graduate students who surrounded our students to try to make sure that nobody hurt them. The day before, there had been horrific violence at several other universities where we'd seen that students had been brutally hurt by university police. And I was on Democracy Now! And did some therapy and thought things were kind of going okay by the time that I finished the school year and planned to go offline for the summer to work on my next book. I was out of the country for the whole summer. And actually, the day that I had left the United States and landed in Europe, I found out that the Northwestern police wanted to talk to me and eventually found out that I was one of four people that they're pressing charges against. Now, it was really disturbing. This was many months after the fact. Like many other situations and other campuses, most of the four of all four of us had been very outspoken who were being charged, and most of us were LGBTQ people. And we found out that they were pressing these charges. And the state of Illinois had thrown out all kinds of other cases. They threw out our case as well. But the day that I found out that the state of Illinois was throwing out the charges, I also found out that my fall classes had been canceled and that I was not going to be allowed to teach in the fall pending an investigation. So this was, of course, very upsetting, particularly, and this is something I'm hoping that Professor Franke might speak about as well, particularly because my classes were very LGBTQ classes. I'm the Daniel Renberg Chair of Social Justice and Reporting with a focus on the LGBTQ community. And I also was teaching a class on LGBTQ recording methods and viruses and viral media. So my classes were canceled. I'm the only person who teaches LGBTQ classes. I had to let eight different people know who I had contracted to be a grading assistant, to come in as guest speakers, to do tours, who were all LGBTQ journalists and alum. I had to let them know that they wouldn't be working as well. And of course, it was a huge disappointment to our LGBTQ students. It was really odd to hear President Schill talk about due process because I've received no due process and being taken out of the classes. I'm still being paid, but I did not get the fair due process. I was told that I would not be allowed until investigations into complaints against me, to intemperate social media usage, and into my beliefs around objectivity in journalism had been investigated. And this is all very strange because I'm going through the tenure process. My mid-tenure review had just been done last year. Like all faculty, it was put off for a year because of COVID on my timeline, but I got a glowing mid-tenure review. And my endowed chair, the Daniel Renberg Chair of Social Justice in Reporting, had just been renewed in October. The university has praised and done a lot of PR about the work that I do around objectivity in journalism and social justice journalism. They put me on the cover of the alumni magazine just the year before. What they don't like is that I am now applying the same social justice journalism principles that I've applied to race and that I've applied to LGBTQ people, to COVID and HIV, that I was now applying those to Palestine. And so they don't like that. And that the Congress is putting pressure on them to put pressure on me, they're aiding that. So it's a really, really dangerous and sad situation. I'll be fine personally, no matter what happens. But the idea that a social justice journalism professorship cannot talk about one of the most important social justice measures, issues of our time, the genocide in Gaza, that a journalism professor can't talk about a issue and a situation where 171 of our colleagues have been murdered, journalists in Gaza, that we can't talk about these things, that we can't take a stand for free expression and the safety of our students on campus as they're becoming more militarized. All of this is, of course, extremely upsetting.
And Steve Thrasher, what are the specific charges against you? And also, what has been the reaction of your fellow faculty members?
I really haven't talked. I mean, this is the first time that I'm really talking about it publicly. I made a commitment to myself that I would finish my next book and not get derailed from that. And I finished it on Tuesday. So now I'm talking to you on Thursday. I don't want to get too much into the specifics, but one of them is called complaints against you. And this is a very vague thing that's come up all over the country that they'll say that there are complaints. And the complaints, which I've seen, which there's no merit to, those complaints are very much at odds with what was written up for me in my mid-tenure review, in which my mid-tenure review, Dean Whitaker wrote that I go above and beyond the call for my students. And my endowed chair, which was also renewed, I got very specific praise about being a leader in the field of journalism education. And I've received awards for my mentorship of Northwestern students. So none of that really bears much on the complaints. Also, I was told about my use of social media, which is something that I have done with a lot of passion at times, but with part of my journalism practice to speak about issues that are important to me. And in the Northwestern University Magazine article that was about me when my book came out, they actually highlighted in a very positive way the way that I use social media. Again, I don't think they like me using the tools that I've used to talk about HIV, LGBTQ issues, and race issues to be applying it towards Gaza, because all of the complaints about my social media are about interactions that I've had with people about Palestine. And the third one is an incredibly ridiculous thing to be complaining about. It's about my commitment to the idea of objectivity in journalism. And this is something I've talked about on Democracy Now! Before. It was part of what my application and my job talk when I was hired as the Daniel Remberg Chair of Social Justice and Reporting. And it's been a cornerstone of the books I teach, like Lewis Wallace's The View from Somewhere, guests I've brought into campus. Part of my practice is that I don't believe in the idea of faux objectivity in journalism. I do believe in rigor and putting a lot of effort into your work, and that viewers, listeners, and readers have a right to know the positionality of the person reporting the news to them, because that gives them a frame of reference for how they can think about it critically. But this idea that somehow I am not objective enough when my job is focusing on social justice and journalism and LGBTQ issues, and when I had just been very glowingly reappointed for doing my job, and that the university has very much embraced my book and many of the articles I've written that come from a position of social justice, is really a ridiculous thing. The field of journalism education, like all academic disciplines, has ways that people argue about the central tenets of that discipline. One of them is objectivity. People have different feelings about it. I've made mine clear. But this is not something that should be, you know, any way disqualifying for someone who has a professorship that is focused on social justice issues.
And before we turn to another professor, this one at Columbia University, a School of Law in New York, Stephen Thrasher, your message to the returning academic community, to professors and students alike.
My message is, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to be afraid of. We are doing something that is very important. And back in October, I'm not yet tenured. I'm filing for tenure, and I plan to file for tenure on schedule this fall, because I think that my record deserves to let me have that that hearing. But back in October, after everything started getting really, really bad in Gaza, I made a video asking, you know, should untenured professors like myself talk about this? And I said, absolutely, because it's a moral issue. If you become tenured trying to stay silent through this stuff, you'll become the kind of professor you don't want to be. And even though I have been physically beaten up by the police of my university, I've been interrogated in front of Congress, I've been threatened with jail, and now I am suspended with pay and not allowed to teach. This is the work that we need to do in these very difficult moments. This is a genocide. This is something that is having an enormous impact, not just on many of us in the United States, but on 600,000 students who've lost their ability to get to school in Gaza, on 14,000 children who've been killed in Gaza. And so what we have to do as educators is teach. And even if I don't, I hope I go back into the classroom at Northwestern, but even if I don't, maybe the teaching that I have to do is what I'm doing right now. Maybe all of us as educators right now, the most important teaching we can do is to teach our students that there are things that are morally important that we have to speak about, and that we have to show our students that they are worth taking the consequences. But ultimately, we are going to be okay because what we are doing is something that is righteous.
Stephen Thrasher is chair of social justice and reporting at the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University in Chicago, author of The Viral Underclass. Next up, we'll be joined by Columbia University professor Catherine Franke, now under investigation after an interview she did on Democracy Now. Stay with us.
To the sea, my people tasted freedom. Soon those hellish skies turn to blue and starry nights. As our voices start to rise, we're ending an apartheid. Hold on.
Yatalin by Dana Salah. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. As we continue our look at the academic war on dissent on college campuses, we're joined now by another acclaimed professor who has long been outspoken in her support of Palestinian rights and could lose her job at the Columbia University School of Law after she was denounced in a congressional hearing and more. Columbia University School of Law professor Catherine Franke is a member of the executive committee of the Center for Palestine Studies on the board of Palestine Legal. In April, then president of Columbia University, Manu Shafiq, was grilled at a congressional hearing on allegations of anti-Semitism on campus by New York Republican Congressmember Elise Stefanik.
Let me ask about Professor Catherine Frank from the Columbia Law School, who said that all Israeli students who have served in the IDF are dangerous and shouldn't be on campus. What disciplinary action has been taken against that professor?
I agree with you that those comments are completely unacceptable and discriminatory.
But I'm asking you what disciplinary action has been taken.
She has been spoken to by a very senior person in the administration, and she has said that that was not what she intended to say.
Do you see the concern that speaking to these professors is not enough, and it's sending a message across the university that this is tolerated, these anti-Semitic statements from a position of authority in professors in the classroom is tolerated?
That was in April. Two Columbia University professors then claimed Professor Catherine Franke had created a hostile environment for Israeli members of the Columbia community after she appeared on Democracy Now! In January to discuss a chemical attack on pro-Palestinian student activists at Columbia. Let's go to some of that interview with Professor Franke.
Columbia has a program with a graduate relationship with older students from other countries, including Israel. And it's something that many of us were concerned about because so many of those Israeli students who then come to the Columbia campus are coming right out of their military service. And they've been known to harass Palestinian and other students on our campus. And it's something the university has not taken seriously in the past. But we've never seen anything like this. And the students were able to identify three of these exchange students, basically from Israel, who had just come out of military service, who were spraying the pro-Palestinian students with this skunk water. And they were disguised in keffiyeh so that they could mix in with the students who were demanding that the university divest from companies that are supporting the occupation and the war, and were protesting and demanding a ceasefire. So we know who they were.
So a number of the pro-Palestinian students who were hit with that chemical spray were hospitalized. After this interview, Columbia professor Franke now faces termination after two Columbia professors filed a complaint against her with Columbia's Office of Equal Opportunity and Affirmative Action. She's now represented by attorney Kathleen Paradis and the Center for Constitutional Rights. For decades, Kathleen Paradis was a senior partner at Outen and Golden, and she, along with a law firm, represented Professor Franke. But Paradis resigned from the law firm a few weeks ago following the firm's sudden decision to terminate Franke as a client, saying she was too controversial. They're both joining us now. Welcome to Democracy Now! Professor Franke, let's begin with you. You are facing termination at Columbia School of Law?
It's possible, Amy. That's on the table and has never been ruled out. And in the climate in which we are now living, particularly at Columbia, things that used to be routine and expected are not happening. There's an overreaction by the university, a weaponization of the disciplinary system against students and faculty in ways that in my over 40 years at Columbia, I have never seen. So inshallah, that will not happen. I will not be terminated, and I fully expect I'll be exonerated and found, as your audience just saw. I have not said anti-Semitic things about Israeli students. But it's hard to know what's going to happen. We have a new administration, a new president. I'm hoping for the best with her, but I don't know.
So, Kathleen Paradis, if you can explain what happened. You've been representing Kathryn Franke, your law firm, Outen and Golden, which you've been a senior partner at for many years.
Kathryn became a client in February, shortly after the charges were filed against her, internal charges, frivolous charges, in my opinion. But in these days, frivolous charges are weaponized. We've been processing it, negotiating, engaging with the investigators. And as Kathryn became more and more high profile, more and more controversial, as our institutions have been failing us all over the place, my law firm, I believe, also failed us by deciding that Kathryn was too controversial, and suddenly, over my objection, terminated the representation.
So you're still representing her?
I am, but my firm isn't.
And you're not with your firm anymore?
I quit.
You're a Jewish attorney.
I'm Jewish.
Professor Franke, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that you've been a part of the Columbia community now for more than 40 years. Could you compare the climate right now at universities like Columbia to past uprisings of students or protests in previous decades?
Well, Juan, you know Columbia and its history and proud history of being a place where students protested around a wide range of current events, whether it was during your era in the 68 protests against Vietnam or racism on campus or domestically, or more recently, students have protested around divestment, the university's divestment from fossil fuels, creating a Black Studies department, the Iraq wars, DACA, you know, the ending of DACA by the Trump administration, South African apartheid. Columbia has always been a platform for students to engage the world, learn about the world, be critical analysts of what's happening in their world, both in the classroom and outside the classroom. And what we're seeing now is that the university will no longer tolerate protests and critical engagement. I think it's important to recognize the problem here is not just what's happening in the images you're seeing here of protests outside the buildings, but they're also regulating what we can do inside the buildings. They're monitoring our syllabi. I have a colleague who was fired because he had the nerve to bring a settler colonial analysis to the Israeli project, the occupation of Palestinians, something that is done routinely in academic settings. He was told, no, that's a step too far. We can't talk that way about Israel or Palestine. And he was terminated. So not only is the university allowing itself to be weaponized by the right-wing conservative politicians in D.C. in ways that are squelching and then punishing student protests, but the faculty are now experiencing it as well. And I have to say, this is what I fear for this fall, is a new kind of surveillance, a new kind of chilling
of how we teach our classes, and then the students who are in our classes actually go to the university and drop a dime, if you will, but complain about us because we have the nerve to mention Palestine in our classes. And I know several colleagues who are under investigation right now for the fact that they incorporated into their courses readings that had to do with Israel-Palestine. And the students said, oh, that made me feel uncomfortable. And therefore, I'm going to file a complaint against you that you are anti-Semitic. Almost all of these professors are Jewish professors who actually are experts in things like the Holocaust, in things like collective trauma. So the readings were relevant. But Juan, our campus has become unrecognizable. I want to invite you back to spend some time on campus and for you to see how it has transformed.
Yeah, I'd also like to ask Kathleen Paradis if you could share with us some more of what happened within your law firm, the idea that a powerful law firm even is now afraid to tackle issues related to individuals accused of some wrongdoing in terms of Palestine.
I don't want this to be about me or my law firm. I want it to be about Catherine. But what happened at Outen and Golden is the kind of thing that's happening all over. My firm prides itself on representing employees who get in trouble at work, accused of doing things that they didn't do. That's exactly what's happening with Catherine. But because of what's happening in Israel-Palestine, even my law firm is ditching clients who have a righteous claim. And it's sad, it's disappointing, and unfortunately, as I said, our institutions are failing us.
I want to bring into this conversation another professor, Natasha Leonard, columnist at The Intercept, associate director of the Creative Publishing and Critical Journalism Program at the New School, not far from Columbia University. Her most recent piece, College Administrators Spent Summer Break Dreaming Up Ways to Squash Gaza Protests. Can you put Professor Thrasher and Professor Franke's experience in a broader context of the universities from here in New York, NYU, to other universities around the country?
Absolutely. And thank you. It's lovely to be back. And I firstly want to say thank you to Professor Franke and Professor Thrasher for being among the professors who refuse to be silenced in this moment of what is widely being called a new McCarthyism. And I think that's an accurate description. Their cases are not unusual, and it is indeed sad, and it is indeed disappointing, indeed no less than ghoulish. We are having both de facto and through policy, both in terms of new regulations and student conduct guides coming through for this semester, as well as punitive actions against students and professors, a real reification of the claim that Israel-critical speech and pro-Palestinian speech should count under violations of Title VI non-discrimination law and regulations and policy in universities. What that does is align university policy with the right-wing agenda of Congress and right-wing lawmakers who follow in the footsteps of a right-wing Israeli U.S. Consensus. And I think if a university is not a place where that can be critically challenged, especially at a time of genocide, when there are no universities left standing in Gaza, which we cannot forget, and the concerns of our academy is the speech of professors speaking out for academic freedom and speaking out for the liberation of an occupied people, we're in very dark times indeed.
And Natasha Leonard, you write in your piece in The Intercept that, quote, tucked into a document purportedly offering clarification on school policy at the NYU, New York University guidelines, introduce an unprecedented expansion of protected classes to include Zionists and Zionism?
Yes, this is a very exemplary, in the worst of ways, document that was just released by the administration at NYU. It is a new, updated guide of student conduct about non-discrimination and harassment. It goes further than any document I've seen in asserting that Zionism, when used critically, should, or at least readily can be understood as, and I quote the document, a code word. It doesn't say that occasionally by anti-Semites that Zionism is used as a code word. It takes that as a given. So that is, to clarify, that is a student conduct guide, very poorly written, very open to misuse, that is asserting that the political ideology founded in the 19th century of the ethno-state of Israel being a Zionist project, that should be considered part of the protected class of Jewish identity, religion and ethnic and shared ancestry. That is what we're seeing in attempts in state houses nationwide to attach Zionism, the political ideology, to the protected class of Jewish identity. It's extremely dangerous. It performs de facto apologia for Israel. And to have that put into writing by a university so clearly is just open for further abuses and an escalation of the sort of repression we've already seen.
Professor Franke?
Well, I teach a class on citizenship and nationality in Israel and Palestine, and we begin with a critical look at the concept of Zionism. Of course, it was advanced as a place, as an idea about the safety of the Jewish people being located in Mandate Palestine. But there were plenty of Jewish people at the time who said this is actually a horrible idea from the perspective of the safety of Jewish people, because what it says is the Jews all belong in Israel. And nowhere else. Not in Europe, not in the United States, nowhere else. And so this will lead to more violence, more expulsions, more anti-Semitic pogroms if we lean in too much to the idea that Jews belong primarily and especially in Israel. And those were critiques coming from Jews, again, themselves. So if we are not allowed to talk about that anymore in universities, what we've done is surrender the very idea of the university itself. And that is so much what troubled us about Manoush Shafiq, our former president of Columbia's testimony in Congress, and some of those other presidents who were called before Congress, is they not only did not put up a robust defense of the idea of a university where we teach students how to be critical thinkers in such a critical time, but they actually joined in to the criticism of the university. My president did not stand up for any one of us, nor did Professor Thrasher's at Northwestern. And this is part of what concerns me, is that our universities are places now where we could not have a protest and say things that are now being said in Tel Aviv by Israelis. The protests that are happening there this week, if they took place on Columbia's campus, our students would be expelled or are charged with very serious disciplinary violations. This is where we've come. It's impossible to talk about the kinds of things that, Amy, in your setup, of the horrible things that are happening right this week in Jenin, in Gaza. We can't talk about that at Columbia. So that's part of what concerns me is that we don't know our history, and these new policies are keeping us from learning it.
And Natasha Leonard, we just have about 30 seconds, but you've noted that universities are not only facing attacks from Congress, they're also being subjected to lawsuits all around the country. Can you talk about that briefly?
Yes, we've seen a series of litigation, including at NYU, Columbia, Harvard, UCLA, bought by often unnamed students and faculty, often very frivolous suits that universities are forced to answer to nonetheless, and then through settlements and often non-public agreements, are then forced to change policy, often leading to the construction conflation of anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism.
We're going to have to leave it there, but we're going to continue this discussion over time. We'll link to your piece, Natasha Leonard. College administrators spent summer break dreaming up ways to squash Gaza protests. She's at the New School. Columbia Law Professor Catherine Franke, Kathleen Paradis, civil rights lawyer, and Stephen Thrasher. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Hi, we are Liars.
I'm Javin, and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
The Arts Show, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.